Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 41.
Yep, and I hope everybody has been having a super awesome week.
Good October.
Yeah, we've gone to a haunted house.
Yes, we've already done that. October 1st, haunted house, let's go.
Yeah, it was when we had a blast.
Yeah, and every time.
I love the tradition, like October traditions we have.
For sure. Go ahead. We just got back from the movie theater. And we saw the new Terrifier 2.
Yes, I haven't been that nervous to go to the movies in a long time.
Yes, if you've never seen Terrifier, it's about Art the Clown, who's just a maniac, psychopathic killer.
Yeah, I just watched it for the first time, and it has some of the most gore. It has some of the images that will like stick in your mind forever when it comes to gore.
Yeah, if you're not into gore, steer clear.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, so we heard Terrifier 2 was coming out only in like select theaters, and our local theater was showing it. So
yeah, we had to go support it. I encourage you, if you liked the first one, definitely go see
the movie. Yeah, it was good. It's in some ways better.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a little bit more of a better made movie. It's still an independent film, though, which is awesome.
I think that, you know, just the first one, like we talked about this on the way home, the first Terrifier is just nothing but like no story, just maniac killer clown.
Oh yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Just, it's what the fuck.
Yeah, it's like just two girls, wrong place, wrong time, kind of.
Oh yeah, but and they're brutal.
Yeah, it's so brutal. So this one is a little more developed.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a story to it, a little more pacing.
And for sure, but I still think you should watch the first one before you see the second one.
It's an awesome ride, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And we have been already on like such a movie kick anyway. We're like deep into our October.
Yeah, with our movies, we hope that everyone's been watching with us every week. Or, you know, enjoying your own personal favorite. Just celebrating the days. You know, we got Monster Monday, Terror Tuesday, Werewolf Wednesday, Bloodthirst Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we got Frightening Friday. Splatter Day.
Yes.
Slasher Saturday. And then Supernatural Sunday.
Yeah. So definitely make sure you're watching a scary movie every night this month.
I'm going to recap our movies from last week.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. So Monday we did Cabin in the Woods.
That's always
so good.
I know a lot of people hate on that one, but
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I would love to hear you don't like that movie. You're wrong, but tell me what. All right, Tuesday we went to the movies again. We saw Smile.
Oh yeah, Smile, the new movie. Yeah. It was heavily.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
I think maybe I would give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 and a half.
All right, for Werewolf Wednesday, we went with The Howling.
Oh yeah, classic, The Howling.
Same with Thursday, another classic for. Thursday is The Lost Boys.
Oh yes, The Lost Boys.
For Frightening Friday, we got Very Frightening with the Amityville Horror, the 2005 Ryan Reynolds version.
Specifically Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, Josh was like, do you want to watch the original? And I was like, no, Ryan Reynolds.
Gotta see Ryan Reynolds chopping that wood. That's a good one. That actually, they did a good job of making it pretty scary, I thought.
Yeah, it's really good. I love it.
It's a good remake.
And then for Saturday, we did Scream, one of my favorites.
Ooh, yeah. Scream's always a great one.
And then for Supernatural Sunday, we have another classic, Poltergeist.
Oh, yes. Poltergeist. You know, speaking of Poltergeist, the same guy that made Texas Chainsaw Massacre made Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. I just found that out.
Yeah, same director.
This week.
Yeah, that's two good movies.
I know, he has to feel pretty good about himself. Like, he made two
Toby Hopper, yeah.
Classic he's, horror movies.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's definitely made a couple of other ones, you know, like horror films or just good movies in general.
Yeah,
but
that's
he's a good director. I really enjoy those movies.
All right. I can't wait for this week and to see what other kind of Halloween horror stuff we get into.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a great October for us so far. And we hope that you guys have been listening to this podcast and that's been enhancing your Octoberness.
Yes, we are here for October awareness, hashtag bring back trick-or-treating.
Oh, yes.
We take it seriously around here.
Absolutely. A little too serious sometimes, I think. I think the neighbors think we're probably completely insane.
For sure. Whenever we started getting our Halloween decorations out, our neighbor said,
I need to get me some pumpkins.
No, one person said that, and then one person said, here we go again. or something like that.
At this point, I think we're rambling, but that's also because, you know, when we went and saw Terrifier tonight, I thought, well, I'm going to get a couple of little bottles of Jack Daniels and drink every time there's a kill.
That's what you were doing?
Yeah. And there's a reason we call it Haunted Haze. Look, this one's going to be kind of a long one, so let's kind of get into it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah. This is for all of the 50 states out there. We got you covered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Each one of you.
Each one of you. We're coming for you. We're going to scare each one of you. All right, so you know what time it is. Grab your favorite drink. Grab something to smoke.
Got it.
Grab your crucifix. Grab some sage. Get a crystal. Get your shotgun.
Oh, my.
Whatever it is that you need to protect you from this week's topic. You know where we're keeping it real. So we thought we'd talk about each state's creepiest urban legend.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of them out there.
Right. I mean, 50.
No, I'm saying, like, urban, each state has a ton.
All right. So, forewarning, this is just some of our favorites. And we try to narrow it down to one for each state to keep this as short as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we're not going to pick the most obvious one.
Right. Yeah. So, like, New Jersey, I don't think we picked the New Jersey Devil, right? Like, that's just too obvious. We're trying to pick something you haven't really heard of.
You know, I guess we'll find out when we get to New Jersey. So...
But exactly, so like, we're going to talk about what we think is probably our favorite urban legend from each state.
Yeah. I would love, one day, we're just going to have to tell everybody about all the urban legends just where we live.
Yeah, and some of these are really scary, I think. Like, pretty creepy. And some are the obvious tropes, like you've heard the story before, the ghost, you know, on the side of the road.
It makes sense. I think we've talked about that before. It makes sense that there would be so many ghosts on the highway.
Yeah, absolutely. So many deaths on the highway, right. For sure. But anyway, all right, so let's get into it. Like we said, this is just some of our favorite. We tried to narrow it down. So we're going to start off with number one, Alabama. The Dead Children's Playground. This eerie playground adjacent to Maple Hill, Huntsville's oldest cemetery, doesn't just have an eerie nickname for fun. The playground was presumably designed to entertain kids while their parents visited the graves of loved ones. Legend has it, though, that the spirits of children who've been buried in the cemetery since the first grave was dug in 1822 come out to play at night. The living have observed orbs of light going down the slide, seeing swings moving on their own, and even heard giggling. Creepier still, some say the spirits include victims of a rash of child murderers that happened in the 60s, when bodies were rumored to have been found in the area that now housed the playground. The playground itself wasn't open until 1985, so you can imagine how much pent-up energy these tiny spirits had after 163 years without a slide.
Gosh.
In 2007, the city tried to raise the park to make more room for graves and remove the slides and swings overnight. After public outcry, it was replaced with more modern equipment, making it slightly less creepy to look at, and also probably resulting in some happier ghosts. That's pretty creepy, especially the child murderers part, and then they're going to build a swing, or just a playground on top of that?
Right. Like, who planned that?
It's probably like someone's like, look, how do we make this memory go away? I don't know, let's let children play there. Yeah.
It seems like the Parks Commission really dropped the ball
maybe
on that.
Maybe we should just condemn it. Like, don't go there.
Right. Let's just gate that part off.
Poor city planning.
Okay, number two, Alaska. Kushtaka. This is in southern Alaska, and it's a shape-shifting creature that are a cross between an otter and a man.
What the fuck? Otter man.
The Kushtaka make noises that mimic children and wives to lure fishermen, though they sometimes...
Can you fuck them?
I don't... I think it's so they can, like, eat them.
Ooh.
They maybe are both. Sometimes also helpful. So, like, maybe they, like, lure them to where the fish are or something like that.
Yeah, just go on down over by that cove. Wow.
Or, like, the men are like, did you hear that over there? Let's go see if there's somebody in need. And they take their boat over, and then the Kushtakas go. And the Kushtaka just leaves. But the fish there are just, like, bouncing out the water.
Okay.
That's what I imagine a really hype fishing spot that a Kush Taco would lure you to. The fish, it's so just prevalent. Jumping out the water. The fish are like just jumping out the water.
You put a pole in there. Yeah,
you just get a net.
Yeah. Wow.
So sometimes they're helpful.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes they might want to kill you. But an otter man?
An otter man that might want to kill you or help you. Wow.
Yeah. You know, for Alaska, I thought it was going to be Bigfoot. So I like the Kush Taka.
Right. Well, there's so many things in Alaska, right?
Oh,
from
right.
From UFOs to
I mean, Bigfoot, look how large and dense serial killers. And unknown it is. You know what I mean? Like, how much of Alaska is bare?
Right, for sure.
All right, number three, Arizona. The Ghost of Slaughterhouse Canyon.
Ooh, Slaughterhouse Canyon.
The story of Slaughterhouse Canyon takes place during the Gold Rush. During the 1800s, there was a family who lived down in the canyon. They were very poor, so the father would venture out into the canyon for food for his family. As you might have guessed, one day the father did not return, so his family slowly starved and descended into madness.
Ooh, we just smoked a pack of cigarettes.
See, the mother, unable to bear listening to her children's cries anymore, put on her wedding dress, murdered the children, and then threw them into a nearby river. God. The next day, she succumbed to starvation herself.
Wow, starvation?
Yeah.
At least she didn't eat like the kids, you know?
Right, that would be way worse.
That would have been...
It gave me... The vibes I got from it, I thought it was going to be a little bit Hills Have Eyes-y.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a true but story, too, right?
I don't even like to think about that. Number one... Maybe number one worst scary movie in my opinion.
Oh, what about The Green Inferno? I thought that was.
Yeah, that's up there too. But
I hear you.
The Hills Have Eyes really messed
fucked
me up.
Yeah. Well.
All right, number four, Arkansas, the Boggy Creek Monster.
Oh yes, right.
Yeah, we know this one well. If you
we did a whole episode on it.
Yeah, the movie. It's great, and I definitely still recommend it.
Yeah, go back and listen to our previous episode on the Boggy Creek. We just did a movie review. We just love that movie.
Right. So if ridiculous. You haven't heard that and you don't know what the Boggy Creek Monster is, it's also known as the Falk Monster. The Boggy Creek Monster of Falk, Arkansas, is a version of Sasquatch. It's commonly accepted to be around 7 or 8 foot tall and covered in hair. Legends say that he roams the wild creeks of rural Arkansas, and he was first spotted in 1834 when people reported seeing a wild man.
Wow, that's
people
crazy.
Still claim to see the Boggy Creek Monster today. And he's been the subject of 5 full-length feature films, including 1972, The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yes.
Definitely highly recommend that movie.
Yeah, some of the other movies are more like horror movies, you know, where they try to have a plot, but the plot's horrible. You know,
right.
It's one of those things.
It's
Or the creature just looks terrible.
But it's like a documentary.
Yeah.
It's a mockumentary.
Yeah, the Legend of Boggy, The Legend of Boggy Creek is like a documentary.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a scary one. It's basically Bigfoot.
I mean, that's whenever I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Arkansas is where my fear of Bigfoot developed. Like I was convinced that he was at the same campground I was at.
All right, so number 5, California, the Many Horrors of Turnbull Canyon, located near L.A. between Whittier and City of Industry. Turnbull is a 49,000-acre smorgasbord of nightmare fuel set amid the scenic hills. You want your scares rooted in American history? The natives called it Hutukunaga, or the place of the devil, where the ghosts of these slain for not converting to Christianity dwell alongside witches and Satanists, who reportedly used the place to sacrifice children, whose spirits now walk the canyon and dangle from the trees. They're joined by the ghosts of 21 kids who perished in a plane crash back in 1952.
Damn, that's sad.
Allegedly, as there's no existing record of it. Then there's the remains of the old insane asylum that came back to life to kill a teen in the 60s via a long dormant electrical wire.
Oh my gosh.
There are cults, alien encounters, gravity hills, and it goes on and on. Basically, if there's something that gets under your skin, there's a story about it happening in the seemingly cursed canyon.
Hate it. Don't want to go there.
This place's evil vibes dates back centuries, though it wasn't until the site was established as a fur trapping site in 1845 that things started getting really intense.
Fur trapping?
Yeah, that used to be huge.
What did they catch? What like kind of
beavers
fur?
Beavers or all kind of things.
Oh, my.
Bears. With the word of the site's terrors traveling far and wide and making it a place visited as much for its beauty and as much for its morbid curiosity.
Dang.
Yeah, that one's creepy.
It's pretty creepy, yeah.
It's like a little bit of everything goes on there.
Right.
Number six, Colorado, Riverdale Road. For 11 horrifying miles, Riverdale Road near Thornton, Colorado, is crammed with enough horror legends to bring even the bravest paranormal investigator to his knees. From a ghost ghastly runner attacking parked cars on Joggers Hill to various demons and even a phantom Camaro revving up and down the winding road. But the gates of hell seem to be the epicenter. The physical iron gates are now gone, but what remains is the partial shell of an old mansion where a madman supposedly burned his wife and children alive.
Oh, gosh.
Left behind are the barren, charred plot of land and white-clad woman who wanders the area. She's joined by the ghost of slaves supposedly hanging from the now charred tree. Go ahead and run away when you see something creepy. Like an ethereal pack of dogs.
Oh, gosh.
You're probably just going to bump into something worse. Possibly hell. A portal to which some believe is there. That maybe explains why so many demons were conjured in a weird underground chicken coop near a set of underground tunnels.
Golly, that's weird.
It's unknown when things got really hairy. Though given the spirits of ghost slaves, it's safe to assume terrible things have been happening on Riverdale Road since the 1850s. And each time something terrible happened over the decades, it just kind of got stacked onto this nesting doll of a horror show.
Well, hate that.
Yeah, that one's creepy too. California and Colorado, though, you got some creepy spots.
All right, number seven, Connecticut. Hannah Crana.
Ooh, Hannah
what
Crana.
What a name. Known as the Wicked Witch of Monroe, Hannah Crana gained a reputation as a witch in the 19th century when her husband died of mysteriously falling off a cliff, and locals reportedly believed that she had bewitched him. People also believed that she would cast spells on people that she didn't like. Hannah lived until the age of 77, but right before she died, she asked to be carried down to the cemetery in her coffin by foot, not wagon. After her death, the people of Monroe tried to wheel her coffin down the hill, but were unable. The coffin kept falling off, so they were forced to carry it.
Wow.
When the townspeople returned to their home, it was found to be engulfed in flames.
What the hell?
Sealing Hannah's reputation of witchcraft. You know, at first I thought that was pretty rude of them to blame her of being a witch just because her husband fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
But that's pretty wild. I mean, that is... You know, some things can't be a coincidence.
That's true. I don't know. I feel like it was someone else in the town that just probably wanted to do that and just like...
Oh, because they would think... They knew the townspeople would think...
Oh, it was Hannah! We killed her and she burned our town down.
Right. And they made... What if that same person fucked with the wagon?
Yeah.
And that's why it wouldn't work. He like messed with one of the wheels.
I know. Those were scary times back then. The whole witch hunting shit is terrifying. Someone can just... tell a story about you, and then they believe it, and then you're being burned at the stake.
Right.
That's terrifying. All right, so number eight, Delaware, Mr. Chew.
Ooh.
Samuel Chew was a respected man, a chief justice in the state back in the colonial days. Still, even in colonial America, bullies latched onto his name, constantly proclaiming, "Ah, Chew," as if sneezing. He apparently hated it so much that his spirit still stalks those who mock him, showing up in his robes and powdered wig to scare the ever-loving crap out of people who can't resist the easy joke at the expense of a centuries dead legislator. Chew was very much a real man, serving as Chief Justice for the three lower counties until he died in 1743. Things got so unsettling that people eventually held a funeral for the ghost in Dover's Green, laying his spirit to rest in an ornate grave. He seemed to be placated though he's still known to mess with the smartasses who sneeze at the mention of his name. Achoo!
I mean, until just the name Mr. Chew gave me a bad vibe. But I didn't even think of that joke because I'm not funny.
Oh, damn. All right, so number 9, Florida. The Skunk Ape. Now, this one's probably, you know, a lot of people have probably heard this one or even seen probably pretty good pictures of it.
Right.
I've seen really good pictures of the Skunk Ape. Out of all the Bigfoot creatures.
Right.
I've seen multiple.
That came out of Florida?
Of the Skunk Ape. And then the reason it's the Skunk Ape is because of its odor. Like,
right.
They say, like, it's just so foul, you know it's around. So that's really interesting. And that makes sense, you know, depending on what its diet is. It's humid in Florida.
Well, I will say that most Bigfoot get a reputation for a bad smell.
Yeah, but especially the Skunk Ape. The Everglades are filled with an array of terrifying creatures. Man-eating alligators, man-eating snakes, man-eating roadkill.
Hate it. Man-eating roadkill? I would imagine, like, what, a chupacabra?
No, man-eating roadkill.
Oh, I thought man-eating roadkill. I was thinking like a crazy situation right there. Sorry.
Well, however, one human-like figure has been spotted enough times to warrant elevated levels of concern, the skunk ape. A relative of the Bigfoot, a fully grown skunk ape stands anywhere from 5 to 7 feet tall and weighs approximately 450 pounds.
Damn, that's pretty fucking big.
Not really. I mean, that's
450 pounds for a 5 foot person?
Well, that'd be just very round. Yeah. Very round.
Can you please imagine that Sasquatch for a minute?
Hey, I'm skunk ape. I'm real tired. I need you to get me something.
He just rolls down the hill whenever
he's got to sit me a plate.
That if we catch one, it'll be one like that because he wasn't able to get away.
Come again.
But even a 7 foot tall, 450 pounds.
I mean, that's the big show.
That's probably about what he is.
It's the big show. They can be detected by a horrific odor that has been described as sun-baked animal carcass or rotting garbage. God damn.
Awful.
They mostly eat berries and small animals, but from time to time, they've been known to ravage farms and tear wild boars to shreds, which is impressive. Boars are mean animals.
Yeah.
Recently, a skunk ape headquarters has popped up in the Everglades where you can book tours out in the swamp or reserve a spot to hunt. To hunt the animal.
It's obviously an endangered species. Why would that even be allowed?
Well, no one can say for sure, but because the lineage can be traced back to Bigfoot, many believe it migrated south from the mountains and found refuge in the swamplands. An environment safe from humans with ample sustenance and room to roam. Others believe it's just lore, a tale pioneers created in order to scare people off their lands and preserve the wilderness. Whatever you believe, should you find yourself camping in the Everglades and you smell something foul, take caution. It could be the skunk ape.
I'm pissed.
That's pretty scary. Well, that makes sense too, like a little bit of like people like handing down the lore because there's maybe some truth to it. And I like the idea that, like, you know, the Northeast is what was really colonized first.
Yeah.
So the idea that it moved out of those mountains.
Because it was getting more popular.
Right, like the Appalachian Mountains and the move down into Florida. That makes a lot of sense.
You know what pisses me off, though?
What's that?
The fact that we already established it mostly eats berries. And small animals, and maybe an occasional boar. Why the F
are we hunting?
Would we hunt it?
Because we got shooting killer, Chris.
No, I'm not for it. Against
Florida law dictates if you see a skunk ape, you can shoot it. All right, so number 10, Georgia, the curse of Lake Lanier. The massive man-made lake north of Atlanta is unnerving on multiple fronts. With a reputation for tragic and sometimes mysterious deaths from a proportionately high frequency of boating accidents and drownings to unexplained homicides. A construction crew discovered the skeleton of a woman who disappeared in 1958, still trapped in her car at the bottom of the lake more than 30 years later. And since then, people have reported sightings of a ghostly female figure on the lake's waters. Ooh. There are even reports of a malevolent catfish lurking on the bottom that's large enough to swallow a dog or even drown a diver.
All right, that's enough to make me never get in the water.
Well, they say there's catfish as big as a Volkswagen in the Mississippi River.
Well, babe, have you ever seen me trying to go swimming in the Mississippi River?
Don't do that. No. That's terrible, a big no-no. Atlanta. Del Rey. There were numerous issues with the construction of the lake, not the least of which included the displacement of families, businesses, and even cemeteries occupying the land the Army Corps of Engineers sought to develop. The remnants of some of these structures still have a ghostly presence at the bottom of the lake, which some point to as a source of Lanier's haunted reputation. Others point to the simple water plus alcohol equals accidents formula to explain the tragedies. Lake Lanier is a notorious party lake. But as noted above, many of the deaths go beyond simple boating accidents, leading someone to believe that there's something more sinister at work. So that's interesting. Like, there's more boating accidents than there may be, you know, normal.
Right, I mean,
we're familiar, you know, with, like,
Spring River?
Yeah, like, Spring River. Like, we're, you know, it's kind of
a party. Oh, right, it is like a party. And people do, like, have bad accidents there. There's always accidents. Pass away, and
So there is something to the water plus alcohol equals accidents.
Yeah, but there's other, I mean, there's party spots where maybe you don't really hear that many boating accidents and stuff. It could be that if that's, like, a known really big party spot, maybe there's more people on the water.
So therefore it happens just because
there's more
per capita, I guess. Well, maybe we'll never know.
Yeah.
All right, so number 11, Hawaii, the Night Marchers. Picture yourself on a scenic Hawaiian beach at night. Imagine a full moon and a cool breeze running across the sand.
Hell yeah, I'm digging it.
Dreamy. But if you hear the faint sounds of drums pounding in the distance, or see a barrage of torches out on the horizon, it could be your worst nightmare.
Oh, I was thinking it'd be like a cool-ass show. Like, there's drums. Like, all right, there's,
what's going on?
Yeah, there's like the fire show going on. We'd
walk right into this. These spirits of ancient Hawaiian warriors dedicated to protecting the island from all outside threats will only spare your life if you reportedly lay face down, pee on yourself in submission, or if you miraculously share a bloodline with one of the warriors.
Well, I can count that out. Thanks, 23andMe.
Yeah, so good luck with peeing on yourself.
I'll do it in a heartbeat.
The first alleged encounter with the Night Marchers, known as Hauka Aiapo in Hawaiian, was recorded when Captain Cook arrived on Hawaiian shores in 1778. In Hawaiian tradition, the Night Marchers' role in life was to protect sacred members of the community. In modern times, their spirits have been reported all throughout the islands, mainly at the site of sacrificial temples and other sacred grounds. Oh, and the decidedly corporate Davies Pacific Center building in downtown Honolulu? Apparently, they still protect the island from outsiders, and if you can buy into the legend, they always will.
Yeah, we would totally walk right into that one.
Let's go check this out.
Let's go see.
Number 12, Idaho. The Phantom Jogger of Canyon Hill. There are rumors of many hauntings in Caldwell, Idaho's centuries-old Canyon Hill Cemetery. But the one that gets the most attention is the Midnight Jogger. As with many of the best urban legends, you have to do your part to get their attention. In this case, it involves parking between certain trees in the cemetery at night. Do it right, and the legless apparition will knock on your window and let you know she's there. Then continue on her route. It's creepy as hell, though now it's only the second worst image conjured when you think of sinister joggers. The origins are unknown, though consider there's another conspiratorial legend that the entire state of Idaho doesn't actually exist. Perhaps the dog jogger is just a creation of a deranged and deceptive government. Right?
That's insane. Idaho's
way into conspiracies, aren't they?
Right. Well, I mean, whenever it comes to the kind of conspiracies that you have to do something to make it happen, like park good, you have to go to a specific place and park your car there and wait.
Yeah.
That's not up my alley.
Oh yeah, you're too
too chicken.
You think it's too real? That it really?
I wouldn't want to find out.
It's too. It's kind of like Candyman, like saying that in the mirror. It's like, well, too. Like, I'm conjuring it.
We've talked about like Voodoo Village, and they say like whenever you get to the end of Voodoo Village and you turn around in the cove when you're coming back out, a school bus will pull out and trap you. I was scared to death every time. Right, yeah, so we're talking about Voodoo Village,
which is a local Memphis legend.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah, so that's kind of something that you have to do to make it happen.
Right.
But that's also the only way out. So I gotta do it.
I do feel like just doing certain things like ritualistically and like just kind of conjuring something up. That's, I mean, it's like, it's kind of like you're asking for it.
Kind of like with the Bloody Mary. That's the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Candyman. Yeah. I love the fact that Idaho might not be real though.
Oh, and then that's
thinking
insane.
About how Montana looks like Biden sniffing Idaho. It's making me think it doesn't exist.
Okay, we're getting a little crazy.
It's all Washington.
All right, 13, Illinois. Homie the Clown.
Homie the Clown? Yeah, I'm not down with clowns.
Yeah, this one's especially. All throughout the suburbs of Chicago in the 1990s, there was a consistent rumor going around in elementary schools. A creepy man dresses Homie the Clown, as in the show Living Color.
Right.
Is driving around in a white van trying to lure kids in with candy and money.
Oh my god.
In some variations, he was a kidnapper. In others, he was a rapist.
Wow.
But in all variations, Homie left a mark on young Chicago kids in the 90s.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty
terrible. Plus, for Chicago, like in the, 70s is when Gacy was around.
Oh, right.
Another clown.
Right.
See?
I just, like, you probably...
clowns, no.
Yeah, clowns, it's just not right.
You can't tell me one good clown. Not one. Homie,
okay, well, you're talking...
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald does good things.
Oh, yeah. He gives children diabetes and let them die slow.
Okay, well, if you look at the Ronald McDonald Foundation, they do good things.
Technicalities.
Anyway, number 14 is Indiana. The 100 Step Cemetery.
Damn, Indiana. There's a lot of steps in Indiana. I only can go off of Indianapolis, really, but
there was a lot of
damn steps.
That, you know, that's a fact. In the 100 Step Cemetery, it's located in the town of Brazil, Indiana, though the official address is actually disputed. While it's not clear where the stories about the cemetery began, there are gravestones that date back to the 1860s. The legend states that if someone finds themselves in the cemetery at midnight, they must climb the steps and count to 100. At this point, the ghost of an undertaker will appear and show the person a vision of their death. On the way back down, the visitor is supposed to count the steps again. Wow. If they count the same amount of steps, the vision was false. People who visited the cemetery in the past have tried to outsmart the supernatural forces in the 100 steps by avoiding the steps altogether. They've been reported as being knocked out, shoved to the ground by an unseen force.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty brutal.
That's creepy. Yeah. I don't like that.
Don't like it. And F climbing steps.
Yeah.
All right, Iowa, number 15. The Black Angel.
Ooh.
This is another creepy cemetery. I love an old creepy cemetery.
I know. We have a perfect one here in Memphis.
Right. The Black Angel stands over 8 feet tall in Oakland Cemetery in Iowa City, and it's eerily black due to oxidization. Most likely because of her dark appearance, multiple legends have cropped up around her. One legend says that if a pregnant woman should ever walk near her, she'll lose the child. Others say that if you touch or kiss the statue, you'll be dead within 6 months.
Wow, that's creepy.
Whether haunted, cursed, or completely harmless, the statue is definitely a somber sight to see.
Mm, wow.
It is really creepy.
Yeah. Just looks like a sad angel.
Right.
All right, number 16, Kansas. Stoll's Gateway to Hell. The tiny town of Stoll has counted very few residents since it was founded in 1856. The most famous is rumored to be Lucifer himself.
Hell yeah, brother.
Who say some appear at the town cemetery on Halloween and the spring equinox. They say he uses the site where a roofless church once stood as a portal to and from hell. Some say that he's drawn to the site of frequent witch hangs. Others believe one of the graves actually contains Satan's own child. Either way, new graves continue to be dug, despite signs of warnings against trespassers, perhaps referring directly to the Prince of Darkness himself, or the cults that have rumored to flock the grounds.
Wow.
The first published article about the horrors are tracked back to 1974 article in the university's Daily Kansan. Though whispers about evil have persisted since 1900 or so. In 1998, the hanging tree was torn down to stop people from visiting. It hasn't lessened the need for the small town to bolster an annual police presence to deter visitors looking for a glimpse of the devil himself.
Creepy.
That's creepy. Like, why the hell would the devil come to Kansas?
Of all places?
And what does the Wizard of Oz mean?
17, Kentucky. The Goat Man of Pope Lick.
Pope Lick.
Hate it. Hate the name. There's no
Goat Man.
I like goats. I'm a Capricorn. There's no clear consensus on how the Goat Man came to be. Some say he was a circus freak. Others say he was a farmer who tortured goats for Satan. And in return...
or fuck goats for Satan. Let's get real.
In return, he was transformed into a hideous goat monster. However, everyone does agree on his appearance. Dark fur, pale skin, goat legs, and horns.
Damn.
The monster is said to hide under the bridge at Pope Lick Creek in Louisville and lure people onto the train tracks only to see them be hit by oncoming trains.
Oh my god. Why does that remind me of like that Billy Goat's Gruff?
I don't know. Crossing
the bridge. That story always creeped me out as a kid.
Sadly, this urban legend has had some dangerous consequences. In 2016, an Ohio woman fell to her death from the bridge while looking for the Goat Man. I mean, it's a tall-ass bridge.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's something I wouldn't be
goat
going to look
man's
for.
Bridge.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I ain't looking for the fucking Goat Man. I don't care if it's real or not. I'm not looking for him.
Right. All right, so I think that we both have something really good for Louisiana.
Yeah, some of these we do have two for because we just really couldn't narrow it down. And Louisiana, there's
right.
so many. Like, you got to talk about a couple, right? Like,
right.
some states just have so much going on.
And Louisiana, I mean, they're just the best.
In New Orleans alone. And,
right.
And Baton Rouge, all over.
For real.
Shreveport Hill, that's where Bonnie and Clyde were shot down.
Right. All right, so mine is, for number 18, Louisiana, the Grunch.
The Grunch.
Grunch Road.
One. Mr. Grunch.
Grunch Road is an old dirt road that leads up into a deep woods, eventually to a dead-end road. It was a favorite place for teenagers to go and do whatever teenagers do until they learned about the Grunch. The Grunch are rumored to be a group of deformed, half-human, half-monsters that resulted from years of isolation in the Louisiana Bayou. In the present day, it's said that if you find yourself on Grunch Road, don't get out of your car. If you see a goat who looks injured, stories say that the Grunch will use a goat to lure people out of their cars so they can eat them and drain their blood.
What is this about fucking goats? Like, everything, goats, the devil's a goat.
Right.
Every goats.
Goats are cool too, though. I kind of love goats.
Another one in Louisiana that we didn't talk about, just because we thought maybe we'd do like different episodes or whatever, but is the Rougarou. And I love that.
We love the Rougarou.
Which is basically a werewolf.
Yes.
Yeah. The Louisiana werewolf.
One of the blessings that we've learned in New Orleans was the tale of the Rougarou.
All right, so mine for Louisiana is the vampire Comte de Saint Germain. As far as spooky shit goes, Louisiana does not rely solely on voodoo, hoodoo, ghost, and Woody Harrelson's accent from True Detective. Like any blood-sucking male vampire worth his garlic, Jacques Saint Germain's hobby is seducing attractive young females in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Only to promptly drink their blood. By some accounts, he was born in the early 1700s. In others, he has been alive since Christ. After dying in 1783, he was spotted all over Europe before reappearing to terrorize New Orleans in 1902.
Gosh.
He's still on his blood-drinking binge in the French Quarter today. Though now he just goes by Jack.
He's like, I can't give these bitches this long-ass name anymore. They lose interest immediately.
Right. So Comte de Saint-Germain was certainly a real person. Alchemist and all-around high society snob who befriended a laundry list of famous 18th century luminaries.
Hmm.
He ran with his crews, including King Louis XV, Catherine the Great, and the philosopher Voltaire, who said he was a man who never dies and who knows everything. He has been tied to several local murders, and in the 1970s, a French pseudo-celeb named Richard Chanfray publicly claimed to be the infamous Saint-Germain. But then he died of a drug overdose in 1983.
Damn.
Or did he?
Dun, dun, dun.
See, that's where an interview with a vampire. That's kind of the true story of that.
Well, and even in New Orleans, you and I have been to a real vampire shop.
Yeah, like vampires.
Vampires are legit in New Orleans.
We've also had an episode, you know, exclusively on vampires. And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, the culture. There's actually a vampire culture in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's...
It's really cool, but it also is cool. It's a little creepy.
Like, yeah. It's all, you know, it's hard to understand, but I'm with it. I would always be down to talk to these people. I would love to hear from them.
I would love to talk to somebody. I would have a lot.
If you're a real vampire, reach out to us.
Please, we just, like innocently, I don't want to offend anybody, but I just have some questions.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to make fun of you.
No.
Seriously.
Curious. Right. All right, number 19, Maine. The stain of Colonel Jonathan Buck's tomb. The tomb of Colonel Jonathan Buck in Bucksport bears a mysterious leg-shaped stain. The story goes that Buck sentenced a woman to burn for witchcraft, and while she was burning, her leg rolled out of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's also been said that the witch cursed Buck's tomb to always bear a stain for this injustice. It's said that many people over the years have tried to get the stain off, but it keeps reappearing.
Mm, wow.
I mean, that's just really weird and creepy.
Yeah, it's cursed. Oh, there's something about that energy, right?
Right.
All right, so number 20, Maryland. Here we go again. The Goat Man.
Oh, another goat?
Another goat.
Everybody, man. It's because the devil, right?
Right, the devil, yeah. Or are they just all seeing Bigfoot? Is this all just some type of Bigfoot? Maryland's infamous goat man allegedly does all the things you expect a deranged half-goat, half-man to do. He kills teenagers, eats dogs, screams like a goat, you know, etc. But the most terrifying aspect is just how deep the lore goes. The USDA was even forced at one point to publicly deny accidentally creating the beast in their Beltsville Agriculture Research Center. Another tale revolves around a goat farmer who, after realizing a group of rowdy teens had killed his tribe, went totally crazy and turned into a teen-slaying goat monster.
Hate it.
Though the lore has been around for a while, the first recorded media mentions of the Goatman occurred in 1971, courtesy of writer Karen Holzer of the Prince George's County News. The first was a deep dive into Maryland's folklore, followed by an actual news item about a family blaming the brutal decapitation of their puppy on the goat man.
Oh, no.
Which they may or may have not just heard about via the county news. 1 month later, the Washington Post ran a national feature detailing the legend of Goat Man. Ultimately, the Goat Man has become one of America's most persistent and well-known urban legends, with claimed sightings still occurring on the regularity. You know, that's funny, too, because one of our favorite comedians, Jim Brewer, was Goat Man on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Remember that? With
he was a goat. I love how you, every time you said, Goat Man. I know, like, I he was a superhero.
Goat Man.
He does gotta be. I like it.
I love him.
21, Massachusetts, the spirit of Hoosac Tunnel. Ooh. The 24-year-long construction of the Hoosac Tunnel in western Massachusetts, approximately 200 men died. Death was so associated with the tunnel that it was actually named the Bloody Pit. Mm. After a particularly gruesome explosion in 1867 or 1868, 13 miners were trapped inside the tunnel. Other workers assumed that the miners had died, but eventually it was discovered that the miners lived and built a raft to combat flooding and eventually died due to poisonous gas inhalation.
Damn.
It was said that those 13 miners haunt the tunnel for years, moaning and briefly appearing as ghosts.
Wow, that's creepy as hell.
All right, number 22, Michigan. This is another one where we both have a really good one.
Yeah, Michigan's got two good ones.
The little girl on Knock Knock Road.
Knock Knock. Who's there? Creepy little girl.
The legend of Knock Knock Road says there was a little girl who was murdered on Knock Knock Road in the Detroit area. She now appears to drivers at their car window, knocking, trying to find the person who killed her.
Oh, creepy.
Hate it.
That's like one of those trope stories, though, right? Like, you know, you always hear, like, the girl...
Right.
...on the highway.
She's probably wearing a white dress.
Yeah, a white dress.
Yeah.
Well, that's got nothing on the tale of Elias Frisk, a deranged old preacher who, according to the blood-curdling lore, Pied Pipered a group of tethered children into the woods near what is now Algoma Township. He then slaughtered each children one by one by slitting their throats and all in the name of Satan.
Oh my. Why do it in the name of Satan?
Well, like, how do you go from being a preacher to, like, slaughtering kids?
Right.
Those brave enough to cross at night claim to hear the voices and screams of children and are sometimes greeted by a black figure with glowing eyes as they traverse it.
Creepy.
There's no record of Elias Frisk in the area, though there is a prominent Frisk family beginning in the 1910s. Mm. Still, despite the lack of hard facts, anyone who's visited the bridge will attest that there's something out there, and it usually makes its presence known as you're teetering on a shaky mill bridge in the moonlight.
Wow.
That's creepy. Just that image of seeing a black figure with dark eyes.
Hate, yeah, that's like awful.
Seen that worst nightmare. One too many times.
Once is enough, right?
Absolutely. Number 23, Minnesota, the hairy man of Virgus Trail. An 8-foot, musky smelling, barefoot man with a reputation for being unnaturally aggressive is a hell of a thing to consider encountering in the woods. Some reported signs were just that. Sightings. However, reports like Ken Zitzel's made the hairy man more than an apparition, but something to fear. Zitzel returned from driving in the woods with dents all over his car hood and said the hairy man jumped onto the road and began pounding the hood. Nobody really knows where it came from. Sightings traced back to the 1960s and had a significant increase in the 1970s and still happen from time to time. Some say it's legend. Some say there was an old hermit living in the woods who wasn't too keen on you rascally kids wandering in his land. Others say the hairy man is a real and point to a mysterious skull discovered in the Virgus Trail area that is human-like but not hominid. It was discovered by a private citizen who didn't turn it over, so no one knows if it's human, Bigfoot, animal, or a hoax. That's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
What is? It's always a Bigfoot.
Right.
Like, we kind of have that here in Memphis, right? In Shelby Forest. The pig man.
Oh, I don't even like to think about that.
We're totally going to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, number 24. Our home state, Mississippi. The three-legged lady of Nash Road. Whenever a strange person starts chasing your car as you drive down a dark, unfamiliar road, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
When she bangs on your hood, it's even worse.
I'd agree.
But when she has three legs and one seems to be rotting limb she has sewn to her body, that's just the worst.
Insert nasty joke here.
But that's what generations of Mississippians have said about the stretch of Nash Road near Columbus where the lady lives. From Robert Johnson selling his soul to the Yazoo witch, many ghost stories in Mississippi persist, but the three-legged lady gets points for changing to suit what scares you. Some say the extra leg was removed from a dead lover and attached to her body. God. Insert another dirty joke.
Dirty joke, yeah.
Some believe she's just the ghost of a mother who got lost searching for her dismembered daughter after all she could find was her severed leg. Some say she wants to race you across a nearby bridge. Either way,
she wants to race with her three legs.
Yeah, she wants to probably like look, she make you get out of the car, and we're gonna race.
That now see like if I'm competitive.
If you lose, I get to eat you and your soul.
Yeah, can I decline?
What if you get like a shiny fiddle made of
gold?
Gold.
Yeah. You know that's not worth it for me.
So either way. To conjure her, turn off your headlights on that stretch of road and just drive down it. And don't be surprised if you're forced to confront the specter herself.
I don't know if I would go down with it, but I'd love the idea of a race.
Oh, really? I got money on the three-legged lady.
You're like, I've seen you walk.
You know, Led Zeppelin says that, right? Then he says, three-legged woman ain't got no soul.
Oh, my.
Or he says, big-legged woman. I've drank too much. Number 25, Missouri, Zombie Road. The dark canopied trail running through Willwood, Missouri, just outside St. Louis, has been a hotbed of creepy tales for ages, often revolving around the shadowy human figures falling and frightening those along the trail. Originally built as an access road for the gravel quarries along the Merrimack River, the road fell into disuse and disrepair in the 1970s and saw an increase in teenagers flocking to the area to party / scare the crap out of each other. The origin stories of the trail's hauntings vary widely, from the kind of plausible railway accidents, executed Civil War spies, to the more sensational, sadistic children's hospital. Several years ago, the pathway was paved so it might be used as a bike path, but that hasn't done much to slow the legend. But the police are doing their best.
Man, you know, I just think about...
That's in St. Louis, so we know people from there. We might have to, like, question about Zombie Road.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. All this has me thinking about how in our own town, you know, we have our kind of local teenage hangout drive-to spot, which is like, we call it the Bluff. And I think there's like an urban legend out there where if you're, when you're driving down that road to get there,
oh, the heartbeat.
Yeah, you can hear a heartbeat.
Well, plus, I mean, there's legit Indian burial mounds out that way.
They're extremely close to where all the kids go to smoke weed and hang out. There is literally an Indian mound, like, less than 100 yards away.
Right, yeah.
Very close.
Yeah, creepy. All right, so number 26, Montana, the hitchhiker of Black Horse Lake. Usually when you see a hitchhiker on a particularly desolate stretch of highway, which Highway 87 certainly can be, it gives you the willies. On this particular stretch near Great Falls, it's compounded by the fact that the namesake lake is seasonal and dry most seasons. Regardless, the end result of the body of a Native American man clad in jeans with jet black hair slamming into your windshield as you're driving is sheer terror. Legend has it, those who encounter the hitcher suddenly find his body bouncing off the front of their car.
Oh gosh.
When they stop to help, there's nothing there and no damage to the windshield. The hitcher, meanwhile, repeats the cycle endlessly, trapped in his own personal hell as he repeats his moments of death with whichever driver happens to be cruising down the road at the wrong time. Folklorists has traced the whole vanishing hitchhiker from phenomenon back to the 19th century, though given the presence of denim reported by most to encounter the hitcher, we're going to guess he might have met his demise in the 60s if he was real. Legends of wandering spirits of Native Americans are pretty prevalent in that part of the country, too. So chances are the hitcher lore is true. That's creepy. Like,
yeah.
That sounds like something, you know, like, what if someone was driving through that area, hit someone, and then either just buried them close by?
Yeah.
And just got the hell out of there and never told anyone they accidentally
hit and run or
kind of drunk, yeah, or something crazy.
Yeah, that happens, I think.
And then that's just kind of replaying over and over. That guy's getting hit every, you
because
know.
It was like unsettled, like his death. You know, I've heard that like people who die suddenly, some of them never realize that they died.
Yeah, and they're reliving that night over and over for
what?
Wow.
Golly, that's awful.
It's like some people, some of these ghosts we do need to like relieve of their
right
situation.
Well, let's make a promise to each other that if either of us has like a sudden death, we'll try to like communicate with each other to help pass on.
Oh, okay, right.
Because I don't want to.
Ouija board?
I don't know. That's too risky because somebody, like another
somebody
spirit,
could
fake it.
Yeah.
Let's promise each other another thing. Let's never communicate through Ouija board after death because I won't if you won't, okay? Like,
okay, deal.
All right.
Only through visual knocking.
Okay, we're going to have to come up with
visual
something,
knocking.
But that
you
doesn't
see
even
me knocking on something.
Okay, well, I would know it was you if I could see you. All right, number
I see you, see me, see you.
Number 27, Nebraska. The Poison Girl at Centennial Hall.
That sounds like a movie.
It really does. I have heard Centennial Hall somewhere before. When Insider chose the most haunted places in each state, Centennial Hall was a no-brainer. People claim that multiple ghosts are seen here roaming the halls. But the creepiest story of Centennial Hall originates in the 1940s. It used to be a high school. The story says that a student was playing clarinet, suffered a heart attack, and died because her reed was poisoned. Now, people claim to feel cold spots, hear disembodied voices, and have witnessed empty rocking chairs starting to rock.
That's always creepy.
All right, number 28, Nevada. The truth about Area 51.
All right.
There's aliens. Right. There's perhaps no better urban legend or myth than the conspiracy theory at Area 51.
Absolutely.
A mysterious government facility that's rumored to be associated with aliens. The U.S. government officially states that Area 51 is classified due to national security, which only fuels the fire. The secrecy surrounding Area 51 is what makes it incoherently creepy.
That is true. Like, it's like you don't know what's going on, and obviously it's top. Like, they're doing weird shit there.
Right. Like, if it's nothing for you guys, for us to be worried about, you would just tell us, like, what it was going on there.
Right. And I understand. Tax dollars, damn it.
I understand they have to keep some things a secret, but still. The government has admitted recently, as we all know, to UFOs.
Right.
And so, you know, the theory that what's going on inside Area 51 is just continuing to become more and more plausible.
I know. It's so weird that, like UFOs have basically been like, yeah, it's true. UFOs are real. And everyone's just kind of glossed over that. They're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because we changed the name.
Oh, yeah. It's a UAP.
UAP now.
What's that? That's weird, too.
Unidentified aerial phenomena, right? That's what the UAP stands for?
Yeah.
So, yeah, why did we have to change that? That was stupid.
Well, and
we already had a name for that. That's like if we stopped calling cheese cheese and started calling it Gorgishborg.
Okay. It's not a planet I want to live on. Parmesan. All right, number 29. Another two-parter, New Hampshire. The Cursed Isle of Shoals. The charming archipelago of Isle of Shoals off New Hampshire's eastern shore is the perfect destination for a seaside picnic or, you know, a series of brutal murders.
Mm.
Two young women were horrifically butchered via the particularly creepy maniac with an axe method in the
1870s. Ooh, that is particularly creepy. Another axe
murderer, dude. We did an episode on that. Check that out. Axe murders are creepy as hell. That's like, I don't know, something about an axe murder. Just,
I mean, it's pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's so brutal. And apparently you can still hear the screaming, often late at night, which is just objectifiably unsettling. This specific island, Smutty Nose, is said to be haunted by these ghosts. The axe murderer himself, pirates, and a gang of other poltergeists. And come on, have you ever seen an abandoned old lighthouse in the fog?
No. That's
creepy as hell, right? Like, well, yeah, you have. I mean, you've seen the image of it. Oh. Maybe not in person, but...
I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a lighthouse.
There's no lighthouse in Mississippi, which is funny because years ago, Mississippi had a lighthouse on the license plate.
There's no lighthouses in Mississippi? Hey, there's one down the street. It's a storage facility.
Yeah, but there's no real lighthouses. Like, actual lighthouses.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
All right.
So the islands have a history longer than the countries exist. Blackbeard himself was rumored to use the island as a honeymoon destination and gold depository in the early 18th century.
Heck yeah.
And naturally, he killed some people along the way.
Well, he was gold Blackbeard.
By the time Lewis Wagner murdered the women living in Smutty Nose, there were already ghost stories about the haunting chain of islands. With history, pirates, and of course, axe murderers, some creepy tales. And again, the abandoned lighthouses don't help.
Right. All right, my creepy New Hampshire story is the Witch of Hampton, Goody Cole.
Goody Cole. Oh, yeah.
Eunice Goody Cole was the only woman in New Hampshire history to be tried for witchcraft multiple times.
Wow.
Her first charge was in 1656, and she was charged again in 1971. When she died, and when her body was recovered, the townspeople were rumored to have staked her through the heart to prevent her from haunting the town.
Wow.
People continue to blame Goody Cole for misfortunes of Hampton's citizens for the past 300 years. For example, a boat full of Hampton residents overturned. Everyone on board drowned. And even though they were in swimming distance of the shore. People blame Goody Cole for the crash and for cursing the passengers by having them forget how to swim.
Wow, what the hell? That's crazy.
Right, that's pretty wild.
So she's kind of like a vampire witch?
Yeah, I mean...
Crazy.
They were like, I don't know much about witches, but I'm staking her through the heart.
All right, so number 30, New Jersey, The Watcher. So you thought we were going to talk about the New Jersey Devil, yeah, right? I did. That's too obvious. No. The Watcher, a legend that has creeped its way to viral fame in 2015. It's like a David Fincher movie breathed into horrifying life. If you don't know the details, in the summer of 2015, a young family moved into a million-dollar house in Westfield, New Jersey. Soon after, they started getting letters signed by someone only IDing themselves as the Watcher, claiming it was his duty to watch over the house, while also spouting crazy lines like, "Don't you need to fill the house with young blood like I requested? And who has the bedrooms facing the street?" That's creepy.
Yeah, that is really creepy.
Is this a prank based off a weirdly accepted local legend, a media hoax, a way to drive down real estate prices? It's impossible to really know, but it's weird.
Right.
And somebody is still sending letters to inhabitants of the house. The debate and skepticism still burn in the creepiest corners of the internet. And while it's a fairly new legend, it's probably one of the scariest that is most believed. That is creepy. Like,
yeah. You know, I have a real big... I'm starting to really think that whenever the people design houses, designing homes that have the living area and the bedrooms at the front of the house, poor design choice.
Mm.
That should always be in the back.
Back, yeah. I get that.
Like,
I know, I do feel like the bedroom should be, like, hidden off or something.
Maybe. Right. Like, I mean, the living room, where else, what else, are, you have to put some stuff in the front of the house.
Right, I mean, yeah, I think
you But you can have, like, an office and maybe, like, dining room or something.
Right, yeah.
But then have, like, your living area in the back and your bedrooms in the back.
Well, it's just creepy, just someone constantly watching you or just being outside, like...
So scary. One of my worst fears as a child.
I mean, there's obviously, like, you know, there's, you know, one of our biggest things about this season is kind of connecting scary movies that are made to scary events. I mean, think about that. That's totally, like, there's... What's the movie, when there's someone inside the house.
Oh, like Black Christmas.
Or
Black Xmas.
Or The Babysitter.
Strangers. Stranger
Calls.
Oh, yeah, that's it. When a Stranger Calls.
Those type of movies.
Yes, those
Or
are
even
real.
The Strangers.
Yeah.
Like, just those people showing up.
I hate
up
that. That's another scary movie, like, on my list.
This realistic thing is what kind of inspires right. this type of movies. And
That's why they scare me so bad.
Right. Like, always based on a true story is always the scariest.
Right. Right. All right. 31, New Mexico. La Mala Hora, which translates to the evil hour, is an entity that you don't want to run into on a dark road. Legend says that at first it appears as a ball of black energy, constantly moving and changing in shape and size. If you look at it, it will drive you insane and slowly kill you.
Oh, wow.
Other times, it appears as a scary-looking woman, and if you see her at a crossroads, you or someone in your family will die.
Wow, that's creepy as hell.
Right.
That's really creepy.